Now this morning, I'm going to use my iPad. Woo! I occasionally use it when I'm preaching, but I thought I'd use it this morning. So let's go to the book, the letter. If you have a Bible, don't worry if you haven't, just stay with me. I'll try and make it very, very simple and straightforward. But let's go to the letter of Ephesians and chapter 2. And this is particularly to encourage those who are being baptized today. And I'm going to talk today about three positions that we all need to have. The first position I'm going to talk about, it talks about in the Bible, is we're going to look at what it really means to be seated. Seated. So perhaps we can have, can we have a chair at the front here? Let's have a chair. Perhaps grab a chair. Oh, thanks, mate. Thank you very much. Thank you. And let's have someone sit in this chair. Let's have someone who, Nathan. Come and help me. Come and help me, my friend. It's great to see Nathan baptized this morning. I really believe that God is going to use this man, this young man, and he has a whole profession laid out for him. That's what he showed me this morning. A whole profession. And I'm not going to say what it was, but I know what God said to me. And God's going to really use him for the glory of God. He's anointed. He's a very, very anointed. And through his profession, he'll make Jesus known.
Yes.
Very, very powerful ways. Amen. So, now, let's just read this Bible verse and I'll explain why Nathan is sitting there. Because Nathan represents you this morning. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible because it sounds better. It comes out much clearer, really. So Ephesians chapter 2. And it's all about our position as Christians, as believers. And it says here at verse 4, it says, "But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us." Wow. "Even when we were dead by our own shortcomings and sins, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's life, of his salvation." Listen to this. "And he raised us up together." Remember what we said about the cross. "He raised us up together with Jesus and made us," what does it say? Sit down. It says that in my Bible. It says, "And he made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And he did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor in his kindness and goodness of heart toward us, woo, in Christ Jesus." Amen. That's a full-on truth. So the first thing is, I'm reminding the guys being baptized today, that it says in the Bible that we have been seated with Jesus. Now, where's Jesus this morning? He's here by the Holy Spirit, but where is he? Seated at the right hand of God the Father. Correct. Tick. And because Jesus is seated in heaven this morning, that's where he actually is in person. He's there. But he sends the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, and his Spirit is also here today. So we're constantly connected because his Spirit has come. And when we believe in Jesus and invite him to come into our life and forgive us our sins, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, literally comes and causes us to be born again. It's a very, very real experience. And we are forgiven and everything else. And so Nathan represents now someone who believes in Jesus. And Jesus says that we have been seated. It's already happened. The moment you turn from your sin and you believed in him, God says, you've got a seated position with me. Amen. Please sit down. Now, what do we do when we sit down? Why do we sit down in normal circumstances in life? What do we sit down for?
Rest.
To rest. Do you think Jesus is at rest today?
Yes.
I reckon he is.
Yes.
I reckon he's seated because he's done the work he was called to do, which we described earlier. and he is seated in heaven waiting for us basically to receive everything he's done, catch up with him. But one thing he wants us to do, he says, by the way, don't wait till you get to heaven to come and sit with me. Your position in me today is to be seated with me today, right now, in heavenly places. It's a spiritual position. Just say spiritual position. It's your position in Christ, in God. If you believe in him, that just as Jesus is seated in the heavenly places and he is seated at the highest place you can sit. So let's just think about the Queen. The Queen occasionally sits on a throne. She sits there because she's Queen. A king will sit on a throne because he's king. And in the traditional manner, a king reigns. A king rules and reigns, and he sits on his throne. And in the same way, Jesus Christ is our King. He's our Lord. He's seated on the throne of heaven, at the throne of heaven, at the right hand of God the Father. And he says, by the way, every one of you that believes, this is where you sit as well. I've made it possible for you to be jointly seated with me. Amen. So he doesn't say, no, you sit down there or sit at my feet. No, he says, joint seating. You can sit with me. Amen. Isn't that amazing? So for me, when I started to think about what it meant to sit, it's our true position in Christ. It's where we need to be in faith. It's a place where God wants us to be at rest. Jesus isn't, believe it or not, although Jesus is sad about the stuff that goes on this earth, he's not confused. He's not panicking. He knows exactly what he's doing and what he's going to allow, what he allows to happen, what the devil throws at the earth. He knows what's going on. And there'll come a day when he'll bring it all to an end and bring in a new heaven and a new earth. But in the meantime, we have a job to do. Amen. And the way that we'll do the job is by being seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Does that make sense? Yeah. I want to encourage those of you being baptized, read it through yourself in the Bible, but ask God to help you to see what it really means. It's about reigning with Jesus in this life. If you know your position is reigning up there, it means that through no matter what you go through, you can live in victory. You don't have to get bitter. You don't have to be upset. You don't need to get offended if you know that you're seated with Jesus. Anything could happen. But if you know you're seated with him, everything will be fine. And you begin to live in the victory. Jesus wants us to be living in a place of rest, reigning as kings and priests before God. And there's a victory. Jesus is reigning today in victory. So his victory is our victory. It's your victory today. What else did I put down? Authority. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. He is seated in authority. And we have been given the authority of Jesus Christ on this earth because we are seated with him. If we weren't seated with him, we have no authority. But God says, no, everything Jesus did for you, he came, he lived, he died on the cross, he rose again from the dead, he included you. And by the way, when he went back to heaven, he also went back and he took you there too. He's made a place for you so that by faith you can be seated with him in the heavenly realms. See, we go through lots of stuff in life. If you're like me, you face all kinds of things every day. We have to pay the bills. We have to deal with issues and sometimes problems and difficulties. But all the time, if we'll understand we are seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms, I tell you, you'll be able to live through your difficulties with victory. Amen. You'll begin to look at the enemy in the face and say, I've got authority over you. I'm not allowing you to push me around or intimidate me. And you put the things of the evil one under your feet, the things of the devil, the things of sin, you put them under your feet. Jesus has given us authority. And everything that I'm speaking about today for you as an individual is true for us as a church. Jesus looking for his living church, that's people by the way, not a building, looking for his living church to learn what it is to be seated with him in this incredible place. It's a very real place of rest, reigning as a king. If you came to my home today, do you think I'd tell you, come on in? Let's say it was Jerry. If Jerry came to my home, I wouldn't say to him, oh, just stand there a minute, will you? I'll make you a cup of tea here. No, stay standing. What would you do when you welcome people into your home? You give them comfort. You make them feel at home. You give them a cup of tea or coffee or cappuccino, and you sit them down. So we are seated because we are at home with Christ. Do you agree? Okay, let's give them a round of applause. Thanks, mate. Thanks for doing that. So the first position is being seated. The second position is our walk. Just say walk. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 And verse, we'll just read it verse 1, just a few verses here. Paul says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, urge you, to walk. Now, it doesn't say in all versions, but actually in the Greek, it says to walk. So I'm going to go with the Greek, okay? I'm going to go with the original. It says to, not just to live, but it says to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Every one of us in this building today have been called by God. Whether we believe in Jesus and what he's done, that's up to you and up to me, how we respond to it, but it's all been done. And Jesus cried out from the cross 2,000 years ago and he says, it is finished. And he meant it. And he finished with our sin and he finished with sickness and he finished with every curse. He finished with death. He overcame death itself for us. And Jesus finished it all there for us. And it's saying here that Jesus is saying that we're to walk worthy of the calling with which we're called. God has actually called all of us to believe in him, to know him, and to follow him. And he says, if you do that, I can give you my life. That's the whole purpose. He wants to give us his life, a life of forgiveness, a life of love. And it says that we're to walk worthy of our calling with all lowliness. What does that word mean? Lowliness. What do you think it means?
Humility.
Yeah, humility. Gentleness. With long suffering. What does long suffering mean?
Patience.
Bearing with who? Oh, one another. Ah. So that means we've got to bear with one another. How? In love. So that means that sometimes I'm going to annoy you. Sometimes I'm going to frustrate you. Sometimes you might frustrate me. Sometimes we might say things that are out of order. We might do things that aren't right or offend. But one thing we must do is bear with one another in love. If we'll do that, we'll win. And this is all part of our walk. So when you read the word walk, you might say it in your version, it's talking about how we live. It's talking about life. It's talking about our life here on earth. So we need to be spiritually, we need to be seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's where I am today. I'm connected. I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's my position. That's my authority that I have in him. That's where I'm reigning. That's why I'm resting in Christ today. But then I've got to walk it out here on this earth day by day. And this is talking about our walk. That's how we live as a Christian, how we live our lives. So it's talking about being fruitful. Just say fruitful. It's talking about us actually becoming more like Jesus day by day. And it's exciting to see even these wonderful six people stand up here at the front and think, I've seen them change. I don't know about you, but some I've seen them really change even over a period of a few months. Their lives are being changed by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of Jesus, as they are walking and following Jesus Christ. It's talking about knowing his power in our lives. It's talking about knowing his love, and that will increase. God wants that to increase every day. This walk is talking about, well, it's not a run. It's not talking about a race. We're not run. This isn't talking about a race this morning. This is talking about our walk with God. Our relationship with God is a walk. What do you do when you walk? If you walk with somebody else, what do you normally do? Talk to them. What else do you do? Listen. So this is a walk that we have with God and with one another, and God wants us to walk out our Christian faith, walk out our Christian life, and produce the kind of fruits that really honour Jesus by doing the same thing. I love what Ingrid said. She talked about, I want to do the same he did. I want to do the same things that Jesus did. And if that's your hunger and that's your desire, you will do the same things that Jesus did. Because the Bible says so. Jesus actually said, you will do the. Those who believe in me will do the same things that I have done. What did he do? What did he do? Preach the gospel. What else did he do? Signs and wonders. Healed the sick. Cast out demons. Saved people. All those things are the things that Jesus did.
Loved people.
And all those things that have filled up Jesus' life, he's now given you his life. If you believed, if you've repented, turned to him and received him into your life, you can now live in his life because you're seated with him and now you're daily walking out this walk of faith, day by day, giving out the love of Jesus to others. So it's a fruitful life that God is looking for in our lives as we walk with him. It's about relationships. It's about the words that we speak. You know, Jesus spoke words of life. How many words of life have you spoken this week? Hopefully you haven't spoken too many words of death or negative words, but Jesus is after words of life, that we speak words of life. And this is all to do with our walk. We're walking, and to do with our action. It's all about our fruit. Jesus is very interested. Those of you who have been baptized today, that you've all said, I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. I want to walk as Jesus walked. And the Bible tells us that we're to walk as Jesus walked. It's talking about the way that he lived his life. Does that make sense? Simple message today. God wants us to be seated with him. That's our authority, our position. He really wants to know. He wants us to know that as a reality every day. And he wants us to walk out this life of Jesus Christ in me. It's no good just saying, I've got faith in Jesus, I've got faith in Jesus, I've got faith in Jesus. And then I argue with my wife. I call her bad names. We fight. If that was my life, I'd be making a mockery of my Christian life. My walk needs to be one of, you love your wife, you love your children, if you're a man, if you're a woman, you love your husband, and you do everything you can, not that we're perfect, but you do everything you can to live this life out. Amen. So that everyone around us gets blessed.
Amen.
I'm here to live a life of blessing, aren't you?
Amen.
We're here to bless others with the life of Jesus. And so Jesus says we're to walk as he walked. So if you're confused about what's this Christian life all about, just think for a minute about Jesus. Just study in the Bible about how he lived. That's how he wants you to live. That's how he wants me to live. Just like that. And he will enable us to do it because he wants to give us his Holy Spirit when we believe upon him. The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of God. And then the last position is what? So we've had sit, our walk, and the last one is stand. Let's just read about it in... let's have... Jerry, can I pick on you, my brother? Can I ask you to help me? Right, here's a man who's standing.
I'm standing.
He's standing. He's still standing. Now just listen to this scripture. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Just read this. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord. Be strengthened in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to
stand.
Just say stand.
Stand.
Now say it again.
Stand.
Stand. That you may stand against the schemes of the devil. Jerry, just take one of your feet off the ground a minute. If I'm the devil and I go like that, he knocks us off our feet. But if we're standing... And I, oh. Standing firm. And God's saying to you that being baptized, you're going to need to stand firm. What is standing talking about? Standing, thanks Jerry. Standing is about remaining in your position. You're seated with him. You're walking out this life of Jesus every day. But in your spirit, in your faith, you're standing firm. You're watchful in prayer.
Yes.
You're not surprised about things that happen. Or maybe sometimes things do happen that you were unaware about. But it won't shake you because you're standing in God. And even those things do happen that surprise us. But we're standing firm. We're not rocked because we're not standing on one foot. We're not wobbling, okay? We're standing firm. And God wants us to stand like Jesus did. He stood firm. In the face of even the cross, he allowed them to crucify him. He wasn't taken by surprise. When he was crucified, he was still standing firm. Do you know that? It was a complete opposite. It was a dichotomy, really. It was a complete opposite to how it should have been in our minds. And yet Jesus said, no, this is the plan of God, that I should be crucified on this cross. I'm standing firm because I know that the result will be victory for the whole earth, victory for people who turn to me and believe upon me. So standing is really, really important. And it has to do with our warfare. You know that in the spiritual realm that you can't see most of the time, there are all kinds of things going off all the time. In the spiritual realm, there are things happening. You know, I remember hearing someone who was involved in witchcraft. She said, you know, the thing about you Christians is you don't realize what you've got. And she explained, she said, In the spiritual realm, everyone who's born again has a great big light on the inside of them. She said, that's what we see in the occult. That's what we see. We see this bright light. We can't touch it. When we pray against Christians, it often bounces back. Why is that? Because Christians have learned how to stand firm. And because Jesus is living in them, Jesus is greater than every demon and every spirit and greater than the devil. They're not two opposite equals. The devil was a created angel that fell. So it's just a created angel that fell. That's all. He's not God. They're not equal opposites. The devil is under Jesus' feet today. He was defeated on the cross 2,000 years ago. And he's alive today. So we need to stand firm. Stand firm in our faith. It's talking about position of our faith today. Standing in Christ. Standing with authority against every scheme. Just say scheme. What is a scheme? Plan. Plot. Devious plots. We need to be alive. We need to be awake about some of the devious plans that sometimes either the devil or a spirit has against us. Sickness, finance, relationships, all manner of things that can come against you. But if you stand, the Bible says one thing only, stand. And remain standing with the armor of Jesus Christ around you, and you'll be fine. You'll be absolutely okay. Amen. I heard you say. And we're to remain in our position. Jesus has won the victory 2,000 years ago. He's seated in heaven this morning, but he wants us on this earth to stand in our faith, to stand firm. Why? Because Jesus wants you to enforce the victory that he has already won. Let me just give you a short story. When I was dying in hospital a number of years ago, in a coma, because some Christians knew how to pray for me, they commanded a spirit to leave my ward. Because while they were praying for me, I was dying from malaria. I had cerebral malaria. I was in a coma, and the doctors had said to Claire, my wife, your husband will either die or have permanent brain damage. That was their prognosis, and it was true, humanly speaking. But what happened for 3 days, some Christians, beautiful Christians that were part of the church that we were a part of then, they prayed for me around the clock. And on the third day, two of them were praying in a house not so very far from here. And as they prayed, one of them said, I just saw something in prayer. And the other guy said, well, what was it? And he said, it was a demon. It's like a spirit around Paul's bed where he was lying there in this coma. And they said, we just need to pray then. Yes. So they took authority in prayer. And this is the prayer, very, very deep prayer. Yes. It went something like this, very, very deep. It said, in the name of Jesus, we command you to go. That was it. You say, wasn't it longer than that? Wasn't it like a Lord's Prayer? Or No, it was a very short one. And they prayed it with absolute authority. They said, in the name of Jesus Christ, we command this spirit of death to leave Paul now. And they said, when they finished that short prayer, they said, everything lifted. And they were supposed to pray. They were instructed by my friend who was looking after that whole prayer thing while I was out of it. They were instructed to pray for another hour. But they said they tried to pray, but they couldn't. And the reason they couldn't was their prayer had already been answered and finished. Those 3 days of prayer that different people in the church have prayed was done. So what we're talking about? We're talking about standing. They stood in prayer. When I woke up out of this coma and I discovered, I woke up exactly the same time. They just took authority over that spirit. I woke up exactly the same time and I saw up towards the ceiling a spirit in my ward. How dare it come into my ward? And at the moment I saw this spirit, it was angry, frustrated. And it was there to take me out. I knew why it was there. And I said, in the name of Jesus, that's all I said. And the moment I said, Jesus, this thing left immediately. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's real. He has authority. He has authority. And if we will stand and wear the armor, is about basically wearing the armor of Jesus' righteousness, his truth, his faith as a shield, his sword as the word of God, and use it as a weapon. If we will live like this as believers, we have authority over sickness, disease, and the things sometimes that lie behind these things, these demonic things, we have authority in prayer. And we see the outworking of God's blessing and answers to prayer when we pray like this. We have authority. Amen. And God wants us to enforce, this is why we say God wants to, you, being baptized this morning, wants you to enforce the victory that Jesus won for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. We need to live out this victory every day. Don't you agree?
Yes.
We need to live in the victory. So three things. You've got it all, haven't you? What's the first position?
Sit.
We need to be seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Number two, we need to walk the walk and talk the talk, okay? And number three, we need to
stand.
These are three positions that Christ, that God has given to us as Christians, that we all three work together at once. So you're sitting, you're walking, you're standing, all in the same thing. Because it's talking about three different aspects of our Christian life. But I want to urge you and encourage you this morning, just read those scriptures in Ephesians. If you haven't taken note, you need to take a note of them. But to meditate on the Word of God, seated with Christ in his victory, walking out the walk of God with his power, and letting others know who Jesus is and demonstrating his power. And the third is remain standing, because if you follow God, if you follow Jesus, it isn't without a fight. It isn't without its conflicts. But the great thing is you remain standing. And if you stand firm, the devil has to flee. The enemy has to move out of the way, and God will give you everything he promised. Amen. How are we going to respond? Let's all stand, shall we? We're going to finish this morning. We're going to finish in about 10 minutes' time. So we'll let all the children's leaders know that in 10 minutes we'll be out there, gather around the pool. Is it still raining out there? Has it stopped? Good. Sun? We want the sun to shine now. We're going to sing a beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace, this morning. And as we sing this hymn, I want you to think about, if you're a believer this morning, just think about your, are you daily in this, think about this position, you're seated with Christ, he's made you to sit down with him, it's joint seating with him in his victory. Think about your walk this morning. God is encouraging you, walk with me, walk as Jesus walked. Let's really share what Jesus has given to us with others this week. Let's pray for people who are sick and thank God that he's the healer. He can heal anything and anybody. He has the power to heal the sick. Why? Because he took sickness on the cross 2,000 years ago and defeated it, rose from the dead and has gone back to heaven. And now he says, it's like a race really. He passes the baton on to us and he says, now it's your turn. You run the race. And then finally to stand. How are you doing with your standing? Do you wobble sometimes? I know I do sometimes. I sometimes wobble. That's because I'm not standing firm. And God says, I want you to stand firm in Christ and wear that armor that Jesus gives to you, and then you'll know great victories, not just in your own life, but in the life of the church. God's calling the church today to be seated with him, to walk with him into the world with his love, and to stand firm against every scheme of the enemy. There's great victories that God is releasing into the life of his body right now, into the church, not just our church, but into his church, if we'll take it. We can see our nation change if we'll sit, walk, and stand. Let's worship him, shall we? Thank you, Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I found. Was blind, but now I see.
T'was
grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace
are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And
His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Through many dangers,
through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns on end. The Lord has promised good to me, His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing.
We're going to sing this again, and just as we sing again, some of you this morning, you haven't really been living in that place that Jesus wants you to, seated. And maybe it's a fresh revelation for you. I know it was for me when I heard it some years ago. I thought, oh, I've never seen it that way before, that God sees me already seated with Christ, therefore I need to live in that position. And you may want to come down, I invite you actually, some of you, to come down the front this morning just to respond to God this morning. Yes, Lord. Forgive me, I've not lived that way, but I'm going to. I want to. I want to live in this place of being seated with you in authority and rest. I want to come into a new place of rest today. And maybe for some of you, you're not walking as God really wants you to, and Jesus maybe convicts us all about the hat. I want you to walk as I walked in this victory. And you're saying today, Lord, forgive me that I haven't walked as I should, but I want to walk in a new way today. Some of you who've known the Lord Jesus but have walked away from Him, and He's saying to you, come back to this morning, come back, walk with me to this morning, come down to the front. Let me encourage you, come down to the front, just respond to Him. And then the third area is to stand. Maybe you haven't been standing, maybe you've been wobbling. It's easy to do that, but God says, look, this morning, just respond this morning and say, God, enable me to stand as who I am in Christ. Enable me to stand firm to you. Just respond. Let's just sing this again and respond, shall we, to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Chains are gone, I've been saved.
some of you who haven't yet come to that place where you've given your life to Jesus or you haven't really believed fully in him, let me just urge you this morning, Jesus Christ is alive today. He is real today. He actually came to reveal who God was. He is part of God. He is part of the Godhead. It's amazing. It's an absolutely amazing thing to come to know him and know that he is both Son of God and God. I urge you this morning, if you want to know Jesus Christ or you want to know more about him, please come and speak to one of us afterwards. You can even come down the front here this morning. We'll pray for you at the end so that you can come to know Jesus in a better, in a real way, and we can explain how you can come to know him. So let's sing one more time. And any of you that you want to respond, just in some way this morning, responding to this word, say, yes, Lord, that bit really spoke to me. Or, yes, I want to know more about you, Jesus. I want to know how to find you, how to know you. Just come down to the front here. We won't embarrass you. It's okay. Just come down and we'll pray. We'll talk to you and pray for you afterwards. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone.
Father, I thank you this morning that you are Lord. I just pray, Jesus, this morning, in the name of Jesus, that you just break every cord, every tie, everything that would stop people from really knowing you today. I just break every cord, every lie, every bit of darkness that would stop anybody from knowing Jesus. I just release this morning the spirit of light, of truth, of the word, of God. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you move upon every one of us here in this meeting today. You know how we responded that word this morning. All of us need to respond in some way. And Father, thank you that we can do. Lord Jesus, cause us to live in that position of being seated, of daily walking out this incredible life of the power of Jesus in our lives, of his love, demonstrating it to other people and helping people to know you, and also to stand firm. Father, help each one of us to live this out, sit, walk, and stand in you, Lord Jesus. We just give you praise and glory. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you need prayer for healing today, I know we're going to baptize people right now, but if you need prayer for healing, please come and speak to one of us. We would love to pray for you. I know there's somebody here today, you've got a stomach, a serious stomach issue. God wants to heal you. Okay, he wants to heal you completely today, whatever that issue is in your stomach. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go out, gather around the pool out there, and then Rohan and Tim are going to baptize every person. So let's just make our way out there, and we'll have teas and coffees afterwards. Dad, you've got children in the creche. Can you go up to the creche and bring your children back, please, or outside? Thank you.
Paul, can the angels go past?
You can do, yeah.